Morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Back in 2012 and 2013, then Maryland Morning producer Lawrence Lanahan, WYPR's Sheila Cast, myself, and other members of the Maryland Morning team produced a weekly series called The Lines Between Us, which examined the many ways in which inequality was manifested in the Baltimore region. This morning, a conversation about one of the things that we focused on then, discrimination in the mortgage lending market. Dr. Jacob Rue is professor of sociology at Brigham Young University in Utah, who, along with colleagues from Princeton University and Northeastern University, published an article last year in a journal called Social Problems, which studied mortgage lending in Baltimore from 2000 to 2008, when the real estate market and the U.S. economy went into a deep recession. Tomorrow night, Professor Rue and his colleagues will be awarded the John Hope Franklin Prize for the best article on race, racism, and the law published within the last 2 years. The prize is named after the great historian and civil rights pioneer who studied racial politics. Jacob Rue joins me on the phone from Provo, Utah. Good morning, Professor, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be here.
So first thing is, how does a guy from Provo, Utah, and a guy from Princeton, New Jersey, and another guy from Boston, Massachusetts, end up studying mortgage rates in Baltimore?
Well, the short answer is that we were all together at Princeton at one time when I was a PhD student, and this builds on previous research that Doug Massey and I have done that documented nationally that the more segregated a metropolitan area, the more foreclosures it had, even after you account for other factors like overbuilding and subprime lending. A little bit longer answer is that I was raised on the south side of Chicago in a neighborhood that was very integrated and in schools that were majority African American. Many of my friends were middle class African Americans. And so this is something that the interest in this goes back a little bit deeper for me personally.
So what you found with your colleagues, Len Albright from Northeastern and Douglas Massey from Princeton, was that there really is a demonstrable, provable racial penalty. I mean, if you're a person of color and you were trying to buy a house in Baltimore in the 2000s, you were at a distinct disadvantage from people who were white. In what ways were those disadvantages manifested?
There were a couple of ways that we measured in our study. First of all, we found that after you control for things like people's credit score, their income, whether they intend to occupy the property, lots of other very pertinent factors that lenders use to make a loan, we found that black customers ended up paying an unexplained difference, a penalty, as you put it, of $500 a year roughly on average. Sometimes this could be up to $1,000 a year for certain subcategories. And so they were spending hundreds of dollars a year more on their mortgage payments, thousands of dollars more during the time that we studied them from 2000 to 2012. And if they kept that loan, that would be tens of thousands of dollars. So that was one way. Another way was many of these subprime loans, and when we say subprime, we mean loans that have a higher interest rate and have higher risk features, also included risky features. Just to give you one example, like a prepayment penalty. We found that black homeowners were more than three times as likely to have this clause in their mortgage. And what that meant was that if they tried to refinance or to get out of a loan that had bad terms within 2 or 3 years, they would pay a penalty of maybe up to 20% of the balance of that loan. And that would be folded into the next loan. So they would often be kept into these loans that were often predatory, abusive, and had terms that were often deceptive. So these were many of the little costs that accumulated over time for African-American homeowners in the Baltimore sample that we studied.
And the sample that you studied, you examined more than 3,000 mortgage loans that Wells Fargo made. And there was a very, you know, highly publicized settlement that Wells Fargo agreed to pay in 2012. They paid $175 million to settle these allegations of predatory lending. One of the things you found out was that it wasn't just people buying homes in impoverished neighborhoods, but it was middle-class African-Americans, people making $50,000 a year or more. They were particularly hard hit by this.
Yes, that's a very interesting finding that follows from a large literature in sociology. Just on the poverty note, you know, only about 6% of the neighborhoods that we saw with the black homeowners were very high poverty neighborhoods. So we're talking over 90% of these neighborhoods were not very high poverty neighborhoods. They tend to be neighborhoods where more people own their home. And what we found is for blacks who made at least $50,000 a year, which is very close to the average income, we found that they ended up paying a penalty that was higher per year and higher over the life of the loan by several hundred dollars and then several thousand dollars. We suspect that there are a couple of things going on here. First, that these African Americans tend to experience more discrimination because they experience more contact with those who are of another race. Also, We know from other studies that many of the lenders and brokers who were paid to seek out people to receive subprime loans tended to seek out homes that were worth more to get a larger commission, to be paid more, and to seek out neighborhoods where more people were homeowners, right? So it could be more efficient, more effective, their marketing. And so they would go to places that were homeowner neighborhoods that were predominantly African-American customers who were seen as being subprime customers, despite the fact that most subprime loans during the housing boom, about 70%, were for refinancing an existing loan. So we know that these homeowners, for example, if they had owned their home for 10 or 20 years, were perfectly capable, obviously, of paying their loan each month. And what got them into the trouble was not their own personal characteristics. It was the risky features of these loans.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. My guest this morning is Jacob Ruby. He's an assistant professor of sociology at Brigham Young University in Utah. We're talking about the mortgage lending crisis and the racial implications of that crisis. Now, Professor, you studied these loans made by Wells Fargo. Obviously, they paid a significant penalty. Is it simply a matter of, you know, the internal policies of this bank or any other bank, or is it a matter of law? And because the obvious question is this still continuing now in 2016? What's your take on where it stands today in Baltimore and cities like it?
It's a great question. I'll break it up into two parts. First of all, we know that what was happening at Wells Fargo at the time in the 2000s was not limited to Wells Fargo. Many of these lenders went out of business. They could not be sued. And Wells Fargo, of course, had disparities that were a little bit larger, but we've seen disparities like this throughout other metropolises, especially racially segregated metropolitan areas. And in this time period, about half of African Americans are living in very intensely segregated metropolitan areas. In terms of today, and policy and what can be done. We know that there is no funding or securitization of subprime loans on Wall Street, so that this product is not available right now, although there is subprime lending in the auto market. But things that can be done that we believe in terms of policy are to have a more routine process where at the level of policies and practices, when these patterns emerge that are discriminatory in effect, even if nobody intends them to be so, have them deflagged, have them be remediated, have lenders maybe pay smaller fines, and have them pay attention to these things on a much more routine basis through civil rights enforcement. Of course, this was one of the few cases where there was a large settlement. But as we know, the story of the housing crisis is how very few penalties have been paid, how little accountability there has been. Long legal suits have their place and are very important, but a more widespread possibility is to have civil rights enforcement be much more routine, have people understand and address these problems before they become entrenched and become an issue. Part of the issue as well is that many of the officers that made these loans were paid very large amounts of money, and they were being directed by managers above them, who are mostly white males, we know from most of these cases like this one, to look to the black community for these subprime loans. And when a certain community is targeted for these products, they will end up getting them at higher rates, notwithstanding the fact that we know that people had higher credit scores and so forth. So this is a systemic problem that goes to stereotypes, to the idea of race and space, people seeing black spaces as being subprime spaces and so forth. So it does tap into larger issues in our society that, of course, transcend the practices of one single bank.
Yeah, because folks have to understand that if you're an African-American mortgage holder for a 30-year mortgage and it costs you $15,000 or $20,000 more over the course of that loan, that's $15,000 or $20,000 you can't use for your kids' education, or you can't use for home improvements, or you can't use. And when we talk about the income inequality and the wealth inequality, this pertains to this very specifically. I mean, we had violence in our city a year and a month ago because this inequality kind of bubbled over into a situation where people just really express themselves in some often very harmful ways. You mentioned the car loans. Is that the next frontier for this? I mean, are there still areas of lending that are kind of unregulated or at least poorly overseen the way the mortgages were? Are you worried about that?
I am a bit worried about what's happening in the auto market. I'm not an expert in that area. I think in terms of the housing market, one of the biggest concerns now is exactly what you talked about with the wealth gap. So the wealth gap between blacks and whites in this post-civil rights era has seemingly grown over time. It was about a ratio of 8 to 1, so that a typical white family had 8 times the wealth of a typical black family before the housing boom really got going. By the time of the crash, it was 20 to 1. And recently it settled down to 13 to 1. So this ratio has gone from 8 to 1 to 13 to 1. These are middle class homeowners who play by the rules, who are looking to make it. Most Americans, regardless of their race, have most of their savings in their home. So this wealth gap issue is absolutely central to understanding how it is, like you said, that the next generation, that wealth is not just right the prize at the end, it's also the starting point for the next generation. So they have less money to pay for medical expenses, for college tuition, and so forth. So I think that the ripple effect of this we'll continue to see in the future. And there is a frustration from, like I say, these homeowners, people participating in the American dream that turn into a nightmare of playing by the rules and coming up short and being, of course, hard hit. And we know that, of course, this was a crisis, right, that was a national in scope, that there would have been a lot of foreclosures in the absence of any discrimination. But we find that, instead of there being 10% of people going to foreclosure, we see about 18%. So that's a big difference, right? That's a very large difference.
Jacob Rue is an assistant professor of sociology at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah. The article in the journal Social Problems is called Race, Space, and Cumulative Disadvantage, a Case Study of the Subprime Lending Collapse. He and his co-authors, sociologist Len Albright of Northeastern University and Douglas Massey of Princeton University, will be awarded the John Hope Franklin Prize in New Orleans tomorrow night for their look at the subprime housing meltdown and how it affected communities of color here in Baltimore. We'll have a link to the article on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Dr. Rue, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, producer Rob Sivak chats with our movie mavens, Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival and Ann Hornaday of the Washington Post. I'm Tom Hall. The Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem is coming right up after a break for the news. Stay with us.